Hello and happy Monday. This is Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Lydia McFarlane, in for your host, Sarah Cinto. I'm here to prepare you for the week ahead and the start of the new month with some of our newsroom's most interesting and informative stories. It's Monday, June 30th. It's also the deadline for the state budget, but lawmakers are not close to a deal. Lisa Mazzarella will bring us some insight into the Danville Area Community Center. And Bradford County Library has a new director after a tumultuous few years. All of that and more coming up on WVIA's Up to Date. It's shaping up to be a beautiful summer week. It'll be a hot close to the month on this last day of June, with temperatures nearing 90. Whether you're braving the heat or not leaving the air conditioning today, let's get you up to date and ready to tackle this week. Pennsylvania's state budget is due today, but Harrisburg leaders are not close to a final deal. And as Tom Reese reports for WVIA, the Capitol has been quiet.
Legislative session days that had been scheduled this past weekend were canceled. That's a clear sign the budget is not close to the finish line. Top Democratic and Republican negotiators are still at least weeks away, according to Senate Democratic leader Jay Costa. He says there's no agreement on public transit spending, the regulation of slot-like skill games, or how to address the high cost of human services.
Republicans in the Senate are pushing hard on, you know, reducing the Medicaid spend. So there's a lot of discussion around that, a lot of pushback by us on that, but that seems to be where they're focused.
The state spends more money than it takes in, and Governor Josh Shapiro wants to spend $4 billion more dollars than leaders approved last year. Republicans say while the state has adequate reserves for next year, spending needs to slow to avoid future tax increases. But Costa says he's been involved in worse budget fights before. He expects a resolution this time by mid-July. Reporting from Harrisburg, Tom Reese.
For more information on what's in Governor Josh Shapiro's proposed budget, be sure to visit our website, WVIA.org. Every week, WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella sits down with local nonprofit leaders to dig into the work they do in Northeast and Central Pennsylvania for her feature, Community Connection. Last week, Lisa spoke with Mark Giesen, the Director of Community Engagement at Danville Area Community Center. Let's hear more from their conversation.
After a great career in radio, Mark Giesen's path led him to a post as Community Engagement Director at the Danville Area Community Center, an important facility in Montour County where it's all about community. Mark Giesen continues the story.
The DAC really is a community hub. It's a great place to have a half-hour conversation with somebody. The tables for Silver Sneakers fill up at 7 o'clock, and then the activity kicks off at 9.
What kind of changes have you seen in your community over the years because of the Danville Area Community Center?
The Danville Area Community Center at one point did have a child care center, so the DAC is going to start a preschool again. It'll be for 24, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. We have a program called Mind at Ease, so it's just 1 hour on Tuesday afternoon. We call it a mental health respite program. Teenagers with two older folks are with them. It's all art-oriented, so if they want to draw or write or create in some way with paint, they can, but it's called Mind at Ease, as in art easel, E-A-S-E-L.
How do the aesthetics of the center accommodate everything you've just told me?
We are going to change the way our lobby was. It's going to become more like a living room. We're going to really solidify what folks are kind of using us for, and that's a gathering spot. We're calling it Danville's Living Room, and we're going to add that into the upstairs. So it's an opportunity for us to really become what people already are using us for. Whatever the DAC can do to help community issues, that's what we're going to do.
Tell us about some of the social service programs you're going to be offering at the center.
We have an adolescent emotional health series that we're doing lectures, and we'll have a Teen Inspire event this fall. The mobile food pantry from Giant and the CSO visits, they come by. We have a Veterans Thrive program that we started. Those are some things that have changed that we're really trying to make sure that we're in lockstep. But this is the community really helping us. Probably a week doesn't go by, somebody will come up to me while I'm in the hallway or wherever and say, you know what you ought to add? You know what you ought to do? We need an alcohol-free, drug-free, or smoke-free gathering for veterans where it's coffee, maybe in the morning, maybe on the weekend, so everybody can go. A coffee klatch. So Veterans Thrive is going to have a coffee klatch. It'll be just an opportunity to gather.
That's fantastic. Now, a lot of communities are welcoming new populations to their communities, different languages, different cultures. Danville, is it doing the same? And if so, do you have any programs for them?
Well, Danville's a pretty welcoming town already. It almost has to be with Geisinger, and Merck will be closed soon, but they certainly had a global workforce when they were present. Our doors are already 100% open, so we can't get a grant that'll open them any farther. Part of our mission statement now says that we are going to address cultural wellness, making sure everybody feels included, making sure that if there's something we have to change or do that will make us even more welcoming, the DAC has got a couple of things underway to make sure that folks that just need a place to hang out have a place to do so and will always be welcome.
When you see all of this activity happening and you see new things that are on the forefront, how does that make you feel as the director, and does it get you even more inspired to see what else is out there too?
It's beyond inspiring. I mean, it is energizing. You see what's happening. You see, as our board continues to work through our strategic plan, which calls for us to be just an integral, lockstep, tied community facility, but also to make sure that we're working on education. We do the before and after school care that's at the primary school. We're also just making sure we're staying in touch with the human service providers. But the DAC's just a tremendous mosaic of things that it can be and is doing, and I'm glad to just be just one tiny little tile on that big picture.
The mellifluous Mark Giesen of the Danville Area Community Center. Hear the podcast, wvia.org/community. I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
You can catch Community Connection when it airs each Friday on WVIA Radio during NPR's Morning Edition and All Things Considered programs. And if you miss it, on our website, wvia.org. There's more to come from Up to Date just after this short break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. This is Up to Date, and I'm Lydia McFarlane, filling in for your host, Sarah Cinto. More than 70 years ago, the city of Pittston's ambulance service fell apart and a man lost his life. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has the story of Anthony DiNardo and the start of a new ambulance service in Luzerne County.
Just 2 days before Christmas 1952, a truck struck and killed Anthony DiNardo as he headed out to a grocery store. Newspapers from back then reported that people who tried to help insisted DiNardo died partly because no ambulance arrived for 45 minutes. Pittston's shaky service had no driver. DiNardo's death gave birth to a permanent Pittston ambulance. On Thursday, officials celebrated another chapter in its history. They ceremonially broke ground on a new $8 million ambulance headquarters.
Yes. Everybody ready? Kara, do the count.
3, 2, 1.
Woo! Attorney Michael Lombardo, the ambulance board's vice president, talked about keeping the ambulance alive.
We're not going to be here someday. So my call is to everyone in this community to recognize how important a good functioning EMS service is to our community. So it's up to everyone, everyone that's here today, everyone that you know, to ensure that this ambulance continues to thrive and to flourish.
They plan for it to flourish in a new prefabricated building whose parking bay should be ready by the end of the year. Pittston's mayor, also named Michael Lombardo and the other Michael Lombardo's cousin, said the building will show what can happen when politicians from both political parties cooperate.
We need to continue to focus on what it is we're supposed to be doing, because if we get lost in the politics of us and them, we forget about the real people we've been elected to represent. This project is a great testament to not forgetting about those people.
Reporting from Pittston, I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
After nearly 2 years of infighting between residents, library supporters, and local leadership, the Bradford County Library finally has a library director. WVIA's Isabella Weiss met with Brandy Chrysler at her office in Troy.
Brandy Chrysler's office is encased in stacks of children books and games, and her desk is covered in notes with her vision of the library to come.
My first
and initial love and biggest love has always been libraries. So I was very blessed and thrilled to find this position open and advertised.
County commissioners announced their position on June 26. But the libraries had a rocky 2 years ever since news leaked that they held a secret meeting in 2023 to close down the library. That meeting snowballed into lawsuits, dramatic funding cuts, and the firing of the library's interim director back in November. And now Chrysler says she wants to develop a strategic plan to assess the library's needs.
Because as a library, we are responsible for meeting them where they live rather than expecting them to kind of, you know, fit themselves into our ideas.
And there's already some big changes at the library. Every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. will feature events from historical reenactments to even a chocolate tasting.
We have a lot of populations here, some of whom may not feel that the library yet has something to offer. And we want to show them, yes, there are things here that is specific to your interest, your focus.
And Chrysler says she needs people to reach out to the Bradford County Library to share what they want to see for its future. In Troy, I'm Isabella Weiss, WVIA News.
You can find all of these stories and more from the WVIA news team on our website, WVIA.org. I hope you're feeling caught up and ready for the rest of this week. This has been Up to Date with me, WVIA's Lydia McFarlane. Thanks for spending some time with me this morning. Remember to subscribe and listen every weekday. You can find Up to Date on WVIA.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.